All right, here we go.
Great.
Hey there, I'm Nick. I'm in my 20s trying to figure out life and what faith has to do with it. I've got a lot of questions, probably very similar to the ones you've got. But here's the thing. I'm looking for a better answer, and it's difficult to find someone who can help. So I'm bringing on Kyle, a mentor of mine, who's going to help me find a better answer.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to intro us?
Me?
Yeah, you want to?
No, you just... intro, right?
Hey, guys. Welcome back. It's Nick and Justin.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm back.
Here we are. So here's a little update. Had a little chat with Kyle. Just want everyone to know, he is fully in and committed to this podcast. It's just that it's going to happen when it happens, okay? I think you guys can deal with that. And if you can't...
I don't know what to tell you. Stuck with me.
And then Justin's here whenever he can be here. You know your calendar is, respectfully, about as busy as Kyle's. And so
yeah.
I remember asking Justin, I was like, hey, can you help me kind of pad the episodes people really love when you're on, and then I can get back to weekly.
And I was all in, just like Kyle is. I'm like, all in, except
and here we are,
like, other things on the calendar.
Yeah. Alas,
here not we are. From lack of wanting,
right?
It's lack of knowing other things have to get done.
Yeah. It's just what
but
it is.
I love it every time we get together. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, absolutely,
glad to be a relief pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, hey. I look at you higher than that, okay? some people I've talked to, like, their favorite episodes are with you.
You don't. I didn't say that for that. You don't have to do that. I'm perfectly secure.
I was making it up.
I know.
No,
dang
I'm kidding. All right. Today, I would love to talk about a fun word called abandonment.
Oh man, my favorite word in the alphabet.
Yeah, we should all
or
start
dictionary.
Using it more. Yeah, yeah. You're just on fire right now. abandonment, because here's I'll give like a little example. Sometimes when my wife and I fight,
wait, you guys fight? You love each other and you fight? Oh my word!
That's a whole other topic. That would actually be a good one.
It's great. The other day, my wife and I got into like a disagreement. I wouldn't even say it would be classified as argument. Yeah. Disagreement. We both, we use the word repent in our household. Like, hey, I want to repent to you. I just want to ask you for forgiveness.
Yep.
We're teaching our kids that. I've learned that, Sarah and I. It's a really healthy thing for us. And so in the moment, we're in the car with our kids. We both realized we were wrong an hour before that, where we just were annoyed and frustrated. And so I start to go, hey, I need to circle back to that and repent.
Yeah.
And
yep.
She's like, wait, I do too. And I was going to. But we got to do this in front of our kids. And I'm like, why? Let's just do it now. Like, get it over with. Let's do it now.
Yeah.
And she's so wise. She's like, no. Hit pause on the whole forgiveness thing. Like, and she said, I want to do this in front of our kids because I bet that if they hear us say, I'm sorry, and we were arguing or fighting, they equate fighting with divorce. And I was like, no, no way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, nope, I bet you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set our kids down after that car ride all together. And we said, hey, earlier you might have seen Mama and Papa have a little bit of a fight. And one of our kids goes, are you getting divorced?
Oh my gosh, wow.
It was that quick.
Wow.
Because how do we talk about divorce or abandonment?
It is,
well, they were fighting, and so they no longer live together.
Wow.
They were fighting, so they're no longer friends. And we were like, no, we were fighting because we were both kind of being knuckleheads, and we both are apologizing together, and our marriage is stronger because of it.
Wow.
Sorry, side note, but...
No, that's great.
I'm glad you and your wife...
Yeah, we're doing great.
Love one another, and sometimes you fight.
You have to...
Yeah.
Conflict... Hey, it's in the Bible. It can be a great opportunity for building a relationship.
You want to fight right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
We could arm wrestle.
What do you? Oh, okay.
It's not a video. You know, it's not a podcast, but yeah. You
I don't
want
to shame
hurt me.
You in front of
I got you.
The listeners.
Thank you.
That's a free tip from Justin here. I mean, that's great. Take that with you. Put it in your pocket and take it out when you need a little snack.
Love it.
So the example, my wife and I, like, we fight sometimes, right? And sometimes I have a reaction, or I just like shut down and like push her away, get really cold, angry, etc. And when we look at the root of it, it's like my fear is like, hey, she's going to abandon me. That's my fear. And when I'm really honest about it and really look at that fear, I'm afraid God will abandon me. I was just starting this conversation. I objectively believe that's not true. And yet the way I operate in life or as a human and just like my mode of operation, it's like, oh, but he might. And I don't, I want to get rid of it. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe it's serving me. And I don't believe that it's something that will build me into the man God created me to be. And yet, it is in me. So help me out. What do I do with that?
Easy. I love this.
Easy?
Okay. Yeah, it's so easy. I mean, this is light. This is fun.
Great. We'll get out of here in 30 seconds.
No, there's a lot there, right? I mean, it's like anything. We're gonna keep this podcast shorter than 4 hours. But the reality is there's a lot to unpack there of why would abandonment be the way I look at the one who loves me most?
Yep.
Even for you to say that, like at times about your wife or your closest friends, to say, man, if I disappoint them, I think they leave.
Yeah, and it does exist with my friends too. Like I've talked to the guys in my group a couple of years ago, and just like we were at a coffee shop, and I casually in jest was like, if I make a mistake, I'm afraid you guys will leave me. Ha ha ha. And one of the guys, he's actually on staff. He was like, hey, where does that come from? I was like, oh, okay. So we're going to talk about this, huh? And there's some real stuff there.
Yeah. Did you talk about it?
Yeah, we did talk about it. And I realized at that time where we were looking at the root came from a previous relationship and how it ended and just really ripped me apart. Notably, I was also idolizing that relationship. And so probably plays a role. Nevertheless, I left with some type of wound. It was like, hey, I might be left behind, basically.
Yeah. Well, I think more people battle that than we realize. Like most things we face that are difficult, we think we're all alone in it. And I think most of those things we go, oh, really? You too?
Yep.
Imposter syndromes like that.
Yep.
Oh man, if I say it like that, they're always going to think of me like that. Those types of things. But what's good about this is that you've voiced it now with friends. So you've had this conversation before. So this isn't the first time. If we were having this for the first time, I think I would ask.
Yeah, right.
What your friend asked.
Yeah.
Okay, let's ask God. Let's pause together and ask God together. Lord, would you reveal the root of that? Where does that come from?
And that's important, right? Like for you listeners, like with whatever that thing is, whether it's fear of abandonment or imposter syndrome, shame, the list goes on. It's like, hey, have you stopped and asked, like, hey, where's that coming from? Because that takes some work. Like a lot of things we talk about on this podcast, like Kyle loves to say this, but better answer is not the easy answer.
Yeah.
It does take work sitting down for an hour. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not trying to prescribe it, but it could take some work to figure it out.
Absolutely takes work.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's work of a friend. Sometimes it's professional work. Someone who's professionally trained in helping you unpack how a wound has formed and how you've been shaped by it. So, so I would say if you're looking for the quick answer to this, I think the better answer is no. There's long work here, and you have to know. Okay, let me just look at that. So,
have you heard our rival podcast, A Quick Answer?
No, I have not.
Oh, They're pretty short.
I'm thinking I'm going to start it. Yeah, the quick answer is the Bible says don't think like that. Right?
Sweet.
So that's not real, and you have to realize, okay, wait. This is a pattern showing up for me, which is what you just said.
Yeah.
You have a pattern of, I now fear if I disappoint you, don't meet your expectations, you will abandon me.
Correct.
And oftentimes that's not things that person's done. It's just that's your wound. And so this podcast right now, I don't think will be sufficient to say, let's solve that problem.
Right.
And let's figure out how to
how
to approach that conversation. Right. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I think it's worth pointing out, is you're experiencing something painful that makes you feel vulnerable in experiencing in experiencing your own fear of abandonment. And just because it's painful and vulnerable, you didn't go, well, that's not from God, and so that's from the enemy. I won't even pay attention to that.
Yeah.
You went, no, that might be painful and vulnerable to admit to someone.
Yeah.
And I need to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I think many times in our comfort-driven culture of today, we're like, well, if I don't feel good about it, that can't be true.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And the reality is this thing of abandonment has come up for you in multiple ways. Multiple friendships, your relationship with your wife, and your close relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal. And it's worth paying attention to, and I'm glad you'd recognize it and then
good.
Be willing to
I haven't
put
heard
it out there.
Put that way. So that was helpful. Thank you.
Okay, well.
So what do we do from here?
What do we do with a feeling of abandonment?
Yeah. I mean, can I start with the question?
That'd be great.
Is it true?
Is it true?
Could God abandon me?
What does abandonment from God mean to you?
Leave me forever. Reject me. Basically turn from me and say, no, I'm no longer like your God, basically. Like I'm done with you. I think the core is like, what if I want him and he doesn't want me back?
Mm-hmm.
Like another way to put that.
Yep.
And then he's gone.
Right. I would say absolutely not in that.
Okay.
In your feeling of, if I want him, he won't want me back.
Yep.
I don't believe that. I believe history, scripture continually speaks against that and speaks the opposite of that.
Okay. Okay.
Continually God says, if you pursue me, you will find me.
Mm-hmm.
Knock and the door will be open. Mm. Seek and you will find.
Yeah.
He says in Hebrews, like, to please me, it takes faith, and to believe that I am with you and I reward those who seek me.
Wow.
Like he says, literally, I think that's Hebrews 12. I can find it real quick. But he says, faith is required to please me, and it is the belief that I exist and that I reward those who seek me.
Yeah.
That's as clear as a promise from God. I reward those who seek me. So if you come to God seeking him, I believe he rewards, responds to that.
Okay.
You find in the verse?
I am. I found it. You were one chapter off.
Dang it.
That's okay.
Hebrews 11?
Hebrews 11.
Ah.
Hebrews 11, then 6. And without faith,
it is
impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yeah.
So, okay, can I just be honest with you, like how this plays out? And like, okay, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And my, like, oh man, maybe I'm not seeking him enough, and so he's going to turn away from me. Like, that's where this, that's where that lie or that feeling starts to, like, okay, God's word says that, but you don't fall into that umbrella.
Yeah, sure.
That's
it's performance based. I'm not seeking you well enough. I mean, I'm kind of seeking you, but not, well, I just sinned again.
Yeah,
so
I can see
obviously
where
I'm not
fall
seeking
short,
you.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think that's the pattern in any way that we would see in scripture of God's response to people's pursuit of him. Mm. Jesus's most angered moments were with the religious people and those who'd given up on seeking him. Mm. Religious people who came seeking him, like a Nicodemus, who's a leader, just like the other leaders that Jesus speaks against and comes against and says, even you vipers, you brood of vipers at one point. He calls them those heavy terms in their culture. We hear vipers and we're like, what? What is he talking about?
Yeah.
But to a guy like a Nicodemus, who's also who's a religious leader, but also seeking him, comes asking questions. Like he meets him right where he's at. The woman at the well meets her where she's at. The woman caught in adultery. He says, "Whoever has no sin, throw the first stone." The disciples, over and over again, like they abandon him in his greatest moments. He does not abandon them. He's on the cross, as most of his friends have not showed up at that moment. He's on the cross, looking at Peter, who's abandoned him three times at least in the last 24 hours in a moment. And what does Jesus say? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." He looks at Peter and says, "This is your mother. Care for her." He's pointing to his mother. Like there's just a pattern that you have to look at and say, here's something I'm believing. And I have to combat that with truth. That's going to scripture to say, I believe that God's character is shown in the Bible. Help me understand it, Holy Spirit, and bring truth to me.
So do you think, or first, you made me think of 2 Timothy 2:13. If, let's find, so many translations, oh my gosh. GNV, GW, HCSB, Phillips. What is that?
Wow, Philip, he's great.
If we are faithless, he remains faithful. That came to my mind. Oh, then it says, for he cannot deny himself. And I've talked about that with Kyle actually before, where like, it, like that end part is important, for he cannot deny himself. He is who he is. Just like you are who you are. You can't not be you. But we as humans who are not God can be unreliable, right? But God is perfectly reliable, can't change who he is. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And not only just, not just simply to hold up where we fail, but also because he just is who he is. The question I have though is, so are you saying, and this is totally possible, and so just be honest with me, I have perhaps allowed some thoughts to hold more power in me and over me than they really are supposed to. Like you just said, like we battle things with scripture, right? Like it says, God will not abandon me. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And so you're saying I could take that scripture, combat my feeling with that scripture, and go, okay, this isn't true because God says he will not forsake me. So are you saying that I've kind of allowed some thoughts and feelings to have too much power?
Yes. And again, it doesn't mean, well, like... It doesn't mean you turn, you go to the mirror in your house and you go, stop it. And then you say, well, I feel abandoned. Stop it. Like that's not how we're made up of. Our brain, your brain is now, at least there's a route that says, man, when I feel like I disappoint someone, let someone down, abandonment's on the next, is the next chapter. And so you have to like step into that, bring truth into that. I would say that that's one thing that's happening. Yes, you've let maybe some thoughts, but I would even say more than thoughts, you've let some an experience. And maybe you had an experience with someone you trusted deeply who did abandon you. And if you've had that experience, what I would say is you let that experience now apply to a our perfect creator. You let an experience with an imperfect creature, us, another human, a friend, a spouse for some people, a parent, a guardian, we let an experience with a person who is fallible, who does mess up, who does fall short, and we took that experience and placed it on a creator who's perfect and whose character is unchanging.
Okay.
And so then, yes, then we have to look at that. And I would say everything for me always comes back to Jesus. So if I read the Old Testament and start with just Old Testament, I'm removed, 3,000 years from their culture.
Yep.
And I step into the Old Testament and I go, but look, for Israel, he abandoned them. They were taken into captivity with Egypt.
Yeah.
He abandoned them for 450 years. Mm-hmm. Where I start is going, the Bible says Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God.
Okay.
And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so I go back to, I start with Jesus and look at the character of Jesus, the actual experiences we have eyewitness accounts of, the intimacy that writers would write about him, his friends would write about him for 60, 70 years afterwards. And I start with Jesus and then I read back. And if I start with Jesus, then I do read back. I go, okay, let me actually read Jesus back into those Old Testament stories. Did God ever look at someone who says, I love you and obey you and follow your teachings and follow your heart, Lord? Did God ever in the Old Testament say, sorry, whoops, I abandoned you?
No,
at times what he did say is, you've stepped out time and time again from the way that I've showed you, and now I'm going to remove my favor from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to allow you to for your desires to take over you.
Yeah,
I'm going to release you to your desires.
Mm-hmm.
You don't desire me. You desire this idol or this kingdom. Yeah. I'm going to turn you over to your desires.
Basically, you get what you want.
Yeah, I do think God does that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's abandonment.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's free will and agency.
Right.
And so what we start to do is then measure our seeking. Well, then it goes right back to performance, and it goes right back to, am I good enough? Am I perfect enough? What if I sin once more?
Yeah.
And what does Jesus say? Again, we go back to Jesus. Forgive each other 70 times 7.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's pointing to this endless forgiveness. Then the writer of the New Testament would say, nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Mm.
And
Where is it?
Goodness.
Sorry to test you.
Sorry, I know Romans 8.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
And so we start to go, God's character is based on me being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus broke that down by the cross.
Yeah.
And then in Romans, we read all of sin and fall short. Like, we have to reconcile that. But God's character is unchanging. He does not abandon those who seek him. And he says, you are forgiven, and I died once and for all of your sins.
Yep.
He breached like what could be abandonment. He stepped through it and said, I will make relationship with you possible. I'll come to earth and do that. And so it is discipline in thought to say, I actually believe that.
Yeah.
I'll take Jesus at his word.
Mm-hmm.
I will take God at his word when he says, my love is faithful even when you're faithless.
Right. Yeah.
That's discipline.
Yeah. Reading what you were quoting, Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
That's pretty stark.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to have to work on it, because I still read that and I go, ooh, but like, that's, yeah. And so there's something there to, in discipline of like, all right, let's work through that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say you have to, the discipline of this is to go, does this reconcile with Jesus?
Yeah.
Where do I see him abandon anyone? Do I see him abandon anyone and come back to that? Sit yourself within that truth, because you've said, Jesus is my king.
Yeah.
He's my savior.
Yep.
If you hadn't said that, we'd be having a different discussion around this.
Right.
But you have said that.
Yep.
And so as a follower of Jesus, we come back to him. And he's proven time and time again, no sin separates us
yeah.
from him. Now, it separates us from him for him to abandon us. But when I choose free will, he gives me that free yeah. will to step yeah. away from him.
Yeah.
I would say recognizing where's the root of that and who's mm-hmm. that based on, what experience is that based on, and that's real, and you need to pay attention to it. You actually need to do the personal work to dig down to that.
Yeah.
But the feeling like, well, I have to be perfect so that God doesn't abandon me.
Right.
That's not the gospel.
No.
The good news is
completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm reading Romans right now, and he talks about how you're justified by your faith.
Yeah.
That's it.
So here's
he's very stark about it.
Here's a way I combat this yeah. in yeah. my own life. Okay. So in my time with truth, you know, gurus right now say it's so important when you wake up physically to get daylight, because mm-hmm. that's really healthy. Mm-hmm. Another side of that is going, yes, every day the healthiest thing I can do is wake up to reality. And
yeah.
and I believe Jesus is our reality, his mm-hmm. kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I wake up and read scripture. Mm-hmm. I wake up and mm-hmm. pray to God.
Yeah.
Not to please him, not to just make him happy.
Mm, yeah.
But to actually say, yeah. I want to reorient myself. Just like my body needs the sunlight, my soul, all of my being yeah. needs the truth. So one of the ways I do this with scripture is when I'm reading something like a John 15, where Jesus is talking about abiding in him, or even like the letter of 1 John, because 1 yeah. John talks a lot yeah. about the love of God.
Yeah.
I read that, and I go, what are God's actions? And I circle all of the action words that God is doing. And then I look back through it and go, what are my actions?
Mm.
And in most of those places, God's actions far outweigh mm-hmm. my actions.
Mm.
My actions often look like agreeing with him and stepping towards him.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest step of steps.
Yeah.
His actions often look like, I never abandon you. I love you. I strengthen you. I give you courage. I lift your head up.
Mm.
I forgive you. I fill you with grace. Mm-hmm. I fill you with wisdom.
Yeah.
Like, I bring you peace.
Yeah.
And so I sit with scripture and I go, okay, in these five verses or in this chapter, what are the actions of God? And then I prayerfully go, God, thank you for those actions. And I
yeah.
breathe those in. I take those in. And then I go, okay, what's my action in that?
Yeah.
Oh, my action most of the time is just to receive.
Mm, yeah.
My action is to receive his love and every day say, you're my king and my savior and yeah. you can have my life today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, thank you. And for you listeners, I'm struggling with this too. So do it with me. You know, if you're here in the same place, do it with me. And invite people in. Don't do it alone. We've talked about that a lot too. Please don't do it alone. It doesn't work.
Yeah, don't act like it's not there. You got to yeah. admit it. That's
yes.
the first thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. then bring it towards truth.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave you with this. After Jesus comes back to life, after he's resurrected, right before he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples, teach the new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So just remember, Jesus is with you, and the invitation Justin gave us, like, meet with him, not to please God, but just to have a relationship and know reality through him. So that's it. We love you, and we will see you next time.
That's right. Later.